Pushkin.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You can find inspiring stories almost anywhere. For instance, check out the co-founders of Girls Who Do Interiors. This Miami-based design company was started by three friends when they were still in school. And right from the start, they turned to Chase for Business for everything from banking and payment acceptance to credit cards. And they handled them all in one place with the Chase mobile app. It's so important to have that kind of help when you're just starting out. Learn more at chasforbusiness.com. Make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC.
Did you catch Season 3 of This Is Digital? Season 3 of This Is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including digital lessons from the EV revolution and the chief digital officer's role in disruption and culture. Featuring guests like Ekta Chopra of Elf Beauty and Tyson Jomini of JD Power. Do you have a digital mindset? Find out by checking out the latest and greatest on Season 3 of This Is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. I'm just sitting here reading the cover of New York Magazine. It's this amazing story by Allison P. Davis called My Tinder Decade. And it is the story of the week. So shortly after Tinder launched, this dating site eHarmony released a big study that showed that they had found that there are these 29 different qualities that if people have them in common, they become the happiest 25% of all marriages in the world. So eHarmony started matching people only if they had those 29 qualities in common. Naturally, for journalistic reasons, I brought my wife down to the eHarmony headquarters in Santa Monica to find out if they would have matched us when we were single. So they put Cassandra and I in separate rooms and made us take these 110 question tests. And then eHarmony tabulated our scores and gave us our results. And we found out that Cassandra and I were not a match. eHarmony would never have sent us on a date together. We were driving home and it was kind of quiet. And then Cassandra turned to me and she said, "When we met, I just felt the most comfortable and the most myself with anyone I'd ever been with. I didn't think about compatibility." I also hadn't been thinking about compatibility when we first met. She was cool and kind of dangerous and just different. Still, ever since eHarmony told us that we weren't a match, I've been curious about dating apps and how they either help or hinder people in their quest for love. That's the reason I was so into Allison P. Davis's story about downloading Tinder 10 years ago, right when the app first came out.
Writing is hard. Who's got that kind of time when you're already busy trying to be Joel Stein? So he turns on a mic, maybe twiddles a knob, calls a journalist friend who's got an actual job. Auditory, single story, just listen to smart people speak. Conversation filled with information, it's the story of the week.
Okay, so 10 years ago, you're dating this guy you're thinking that you might wind up marrying, but you're breaking up. So you decide to get on Tinder in order to stay together? Like, run me through what was going on in your 26-year-old brain.
So I got the Tinder, I think I got a press release or it came up in a meeting. And I was like, that is exactly what I need to follow the age-old advice of make him jealous. You know, let him know that if you lose him, I know I'm not proud of this.
No. This is every sitcom has used this technique.
Right. Yeah. This is like rom-com 101, right? So right. We met for dinner that weekend, and I remember we were at dinner. And I had downloaded the app before dinner.
So you have a plan.
I have a plan.
Oh, yeah.
This is me at my most, like, everyone says, like, main character energy. But I think this is, like villain energy. And I'm not ashamed of it.
But here's the thing. Anything one does, if it worked, it's a great moment. It's say anything with the boombox above your head.
Yeah. So I guess this did not work the way it would. But I did show him the app and I was like, oh, this is this new thing that I maybe am writing about for work. But also, like, can you believe how many people are on it that are attractive that I'm matching with, and sort of like showing him my little black book, if you will. And also, you know, it gave me this idea that there are so many more men out there for me to date than just you, which is kind of what I was trying to get across, so he wouldn't break up with me.
Do you think did it make him pause at least?
I remember him saying, why are you showing me this? And like, you know, and also sort of like, if you want this relationship to work, why are you telling it all the other guys you can date? So that was how I started using Tinder.
And that's how her relationship ended and how her relationship with Tinder began. So over the next few years, she went on more dates than any human, like even a rock star human, had ever been able to go on before Tinder existed. And some of the dates were great, some weren't so great, and some completely changed how she thought about humanity. Okay, so there are dates you went on that fascinated me. You said, I've been lightly catfished and probably almost scammed. What?
I think I was once almost like financially scammed, where I was talking to somebody and then it turned into a conversation about crypto. And he was like, if you're bad with crypto, like, give me, like, Venmo me this and I can tell you exactly where to put it. And I was like, well, this is getting weird.
Oh, that's a horrible date.
But maybe he was a crypto guy. And I just, you know, no, he was definitely trying to scam me. I never would have seen that money again.
How many crypto guys did you go on dates with? Were there tons of those?
It only takes one and then you never do it again. it only takes one to almost scam you and you just like never go out with the crypto guy again.
Do you know that song Crypto Boy that came out earlier this year?
Yeah. Do you use music on this podcast? Will you play it right now?
I hope so. I don't care about your crypto boy.
Crypto boy.
Being on Tinder turned you into a laboratory where you were both a scientist and the experiment. So what are some things that you adjusted in the way you presented yourself as you learned more and more about what worked?
Oh, man. One like very basic thing was just how I dressed for these dates. Mm-hmm. At first, I would really try and be me and wear dresses and sort of like Carrie Bradshaw date night outfits at like dive bars in Brooklyn. But I found that people responded to me more when I was dressed more casually, like jeans and a revealing top. And it's the cool girl myth, you know, like you just want someone that like, oh, we can meet in a bar, but maybe she's wearing the shoes that mean that we could go walk the city all night and have an adventure and cross the Brooklyn Bridge. But, you know, like that kind of stuff. You know that girl.
I do. I would have guessed the other way. I would have guessed that men wanted someone like tarted up. But instead, I'm talking about myself. Let me just honestly, let me talk about me. I would have wanted someone, I think when I was dating, although it would have been intimidating, all tarted up. But you're saying men on Tinder who maybe are more experienced than me judge you on, oh, if this woman is putting this much effort in, she's high maintenance.
High maintenance, or what you just said, you would have been intimidated. And nobody wants to be intimidated.
Oh, I do.
That is revealing.
Yeah. Very.
I feel like people, and myself too, like I want to go into this with a person that I feel like I can look at and comprehend and also feel equal to and that I can talk to. And so I realized that over the years, I've just sort of shaped myself more and more into a person who wasn't built to intimidate. Like, and I learned how to talk about my job in a way that wasn't intimidating.
Isn't the fun of it just to be like with someone who blows your mind and like is way above your league?
One would think, but maybe I'm doing it wrong.
No,
because
no, you have no trouble getting dates. You're definitely not dating wrong.
That's probably true. Well, at least in the, well, yeah.
Well, your bio for a while was here for a good time, not a long time.
That's one I chose. Yep.
Wow.
Embarrassing when you read it back to me now. Yes.
Well, in that voice. Let me try again. Here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah.
That's better, right?
A little better.
I was really judgy the first time.
Yes,
I apologize.
Jesus.
Yeah. That sends a message.
It does, which is just like, yeah. I mean, I'm easy. Not expecting a lot, you know?
Okay, so in the article, you talk about the fact that in many ways, you're a very typical Tinder user. In what ways are you and what ways are you not?
I guess I'm like, you know, most Tinder users in that I don't know what I'm using it for. And I'm the professional who was college educated. And, you know, it's just like, I feel like I'm one of many of the masses trying to find a date. I think things that make me feel a little different is that like it's a different experience dating as a Black woman on these apps. It's also like different dating in New York sometimes because it's such a big market that like Everyone's getting like lost and swallowed up.
And how is it different being Black on Tinder?
Everybody gets harassed on these things in one way or another. But I do find like I get a lot more comments than some of my friends on these apps do. And I get fewer matches and fewer dates. And it's sort of like, oh, I do feel like the average Tinder user, except for this one thing that makes it a lot harder for me than, say, some of my friends, you know?
Wait, what kind of harassment are you talking about?
One guy I swiped on a couple of years ago, he was like, I swiped on you because you look so classy, even though you're Black. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and like unmatch here.
Wow, he found a way to say articulate with a visual medium.
Yes, I was actually, you know what, points to that guy for like originality because he really managed to do something I didn't think anyone could. And then there was this one guy who like I rejected him, and in his sort of like tirade of like, why won't you go out with me, it turned very quickly into like using racial slurs. And I was like, well, we didn't have to go there. And then I actually unmatched him and then reported him because it got so vulgar and violent. And that was all race-based. And I'm sure he would have harassed another woman that turned him down in equally as disgusting ways. But like, it just feels like I have this added layer of like, of
vulnerability.
Ways. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's scary.
Then there's like the fetish guys who are like, oh, you know, I love Black women, or I want to complete the rainbow. Just like, oh, God.
Complete the rainbow? What?
That is.
Really?
More than once I've heard that phrase.
Wait, complete the rainbow. Wait, what is the rainbow?
I didn't really ask so specifically, but I guess all colors of the wind, every nuance in between. He's got a lot of work to do.
Was this Jesse Jackson?
Yes, that's my big reveal.
It was the Rainbow
Coalition?
Yeah. Wow, that's a crazy thing to think, no less say out loud.
I know. People, you know, that's one thing I will give Tinder. It has opened my world to so many people that I never would have spoken to. So many people that have original ways of thinking that I could never imagine a human brain doing, but they do. It's kind of, anthropologically at least, very fascinating.
After the break, Allison's anthropology experiment continues for way longer than any anthropology experiment since Jane Goodall.
You can find inspiring stories almost anywhere. For instance, check out the co-founders of Girls Who Do Interiors. This Miami-based design company was started by three friends when they were still in school. And right from the start, they turned to Chase for Business for everything from banking and payment acceptance to credit cards. And they handled them all in one place with the Chase mobile app. It's so important to have that kind of help when you're just starting out. Learn more at chaseforbusiness.com. Make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Digital trends show up every day in business decisions and actions. West Monroe is the number one strategic partner translating technology into financial value for companies. The This Is Digital podcast applies West Monroe's two decades of secrets and best practices to your business's benefit. Favorite past topics from the last three seasons include how AI and the next generation of employees are shaping the workplace, becoming a product company, Highmark's journey, and what does it mean to put the customer first? Learn more at westmonroe.com.
So, here's what makes Allison's Tinder experience so unusual. After she downloaded the app to make her boyfriend jealous, she stayed on Tinder for 10 years. And in that time, she never went on a fifth date with anybody, ever. So Allison might know more about dating than anyone in human history. And I got to see her swiping in action. Are you still on Tinder? And if so, can we do it together?
I am still on Tinder.
Can we swipe?
So, just to start.
What? Wait, let me see the phone.
Okay.
Is that Alec Baldwin?
No. It looks just like Alec Baldwin.
Oh my God. Is this a winner or a loser?
Well, shall I read the bio to you? Because it's just
read
not.
The bio.
It's just not. Okay. Looking for a submissive female who enjoys being dominated in bed, spanking, hair pulling, being told what to do. If that's something you enjoy, contact me.
Very forward. That's how we started. That was number one. Okay, so the Dominator is a no. Who's next?
Okay, this guy seems nice. Maybe too nice.
Okay, this guy's 38. He's wearing a tux in Vegas or somewhere.
More vacation. He's on a lot of photos. More vacation shots.
Oh, my God. He's sitting on a throne with velvet robes and a crown. This guy's a yes or no.
Okay. Big film buff. Travel as much as I can. Where should I go next? French fry enthusiast. Okay, here's why I'm going to say not for me. Because I'm personally looking for somebody that's like really dedicated to their job. This person's a part-time artist. Full-time dreamer. You know, because now I feel bad. I'm going to swipe right.
No, you're not. Are you really?
I am. I feel like that was just rude of me. And this guy seems very nice and he likes movies and French fries. And I love those things too.
Wait, the guy... who's a full-time dreamer, and he's wearing one of the ways he wants to present himself is wearing a hat, a king crown on a throne, and the other way he wants to present himself is with a Tommy Bahama shirt. He gets the swipe right. I'm judging. I'm sorry. Let's go swipe right. Move on.
Okay. All right. I just felt bad about my image.
He doesn't know. Why would you feel bad?
Now it's a match. It's a match. We matched.
Of course it's a match. What are you? You're shocked?
We're going to have to figure that out.
Now you have to go on a date with him. What did I just do? This is your fault.
This is
not
your
on me.
Fault. It's because I'm talking.
I was not advocating for the king guy.
Also, we're definitely done swiping now because I've done this. There's
What's the time limit.
I'm only allowed 15 minutes on Twitter a day.
Oh, you set that for yourself?
I did. Yes.
Oh wow, that's not the article. That was left out of the article.
There's a lot of stuff that didn't make it for space, but yes, that is. Yeah.
You sum up kind of the problem with Tinder through the story at the end of your piece that's about these very two different guys that you met around the same time. So who were these two guys and what did they teach you about yourself?
Yeah, so I went on a date with this guy and he was very handsome and he was intelligent and, you know, a Columbia MFA student who was like also read and translated literature on the side, like just someone who like, you know, was responsible and for the most part, like ticked all the boxes of what like I as a 36-year-old woman should be looking for. And I felt like nothing, you know, like there was no like jump in my stomach. There was no like fire of my loins or whatever.
Someone you would have slotted into the friend zone in my era.
100%. Okay. Yeah. So then I went and met my friends at a bar and I met a friend of a friend that I'd met, I guess, like once before, never thought much about. But there was something that like changed in the energy that night where like I felt like, whoosh, like this person. And we were talking and he was leaning in and doing the yelling in my face thing close enough to me that he bonked me in the side of the head while he was trying to mansplain in my ear. And it was so like it was almost as if we had like already had sex, because that face, it was like so much electricity in the face bonk.
And he had like a mullet and an earring, right?
No, he's like a bad idea walking, you know, like,
yeah.
It's like, what? He's like dirtbag hot. And I think he was truly, I think he was like in an open relationship. Like nothing about it was like, this is what you, a woman who like would like a relationship, should want with all, like every cell. But I also just like didn't know what to do with like wanting a person, you know, and like how one acts on that in real life. Like, which is partially why I left the bar. I was like too overwhelmed. And then the next day I decided that like, no, Fort Greene apartment guy who translates books, I will send you a text and ask you on date number two, you know, because that's...
So you never hooked up with the mullet guy?
No, no. I just repressed it.
But maybe the electricity of a party and a night and the thing you're not supposed to do isn't the right choice. Maybe the right choice is the guy who you have more in common with. Like, it seems like you maybe did the right thing.
Okay, you would think. But I do think there is something to be said for just sitting down and knowing from a place that cannot be listicled, this is a person that I would like to see again. And I can't really explain why, but like there is something that's pulling me to you. And maybe it'll be short, but it'll be intimate. And maybe it'll be long and you'll be the one. But like what I think that online or app dating has sort of robbed me personally of, and I can't speak for everyone, is just the sort of getting it out of my head and into my body.
That makes sense, right? There has to be something drawing you to that person,
right?
That you feel. Yeah. You say a couple things in the story I just want to explore because they were so smart. I'm going to read them. I'm going to read your own writing back to you for a second. It's easy to overestimate the way technology shapes us and to discount the way technology bends to our needs and wills and desires. It's possible Tinder didn't do anything but promise us connection, and we're the ones who decided how we wanted to connect. That seems really wise to me. Like, did Tinder bend to who you are, or did Tinder make you act differently?
I think about the time in my life when I downloaded Tinder, when I was like much younger than I am now, 10 years, and unsure about what I wanted out of life and who I wanted it with and where I wanted to be and who I was. And so the foundation that I laid by using it the way that I did, which was like truly just pure chaos and just like whatever happens, happens. I built this like little house of dating on like a real fucked up foundation because, you know, like I didn't know how to use the app in the way that I want to now, if that makes sense. We are always as daters prone to being flaky or being overwhelmed or wondering if we could do better. We were prone to having to dehumanize in some ways, but it just made it so much easier to do it on such a larger scale that it bent to our will, but then it's made it impossible to come back to like the neutral point.
Yeah, it's like everything else about technology that exacerbated, you yes. know, our instincts. Like it seems to be like we haven't figured out how to come back from any of it, any of the dopamine hits. You asked this question in the piece, if I had never downloaded the app, would I still be single? If you had to answer that, what's your answer?
I think I'd be in a relationship by now, if I'm being honest.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that I would have left singledom behind.
Because of the FOMO of it, or which part?
What Tinder has enabled for me is that like I don't feel so worried about loneliness, or I don't feel so worried about like feeling undesired or that I won't be able to have sex or like this or that. It's like I know that because I have this thing, there is always somebody that I can swipe right on. It's just made me better at being alone, you know?
You have an on-demand boyfriend.
I have many on-demand boyfriends.
Allison P. Davis's story, My Tinder Decade, was published in New York Magazine. She's currently writing a book called Horny, about trying to have sex during a time when it's weird to have sex, which in my experience is anytime. We often assume that we're just computers, that we can upload our brains to the metaverse and our life would be the same, and there's no difference between artificial intelligence and us, and that some algorithm can figure out who we're supposed to be married to. But when marriage gets hard, you need more than some checklist to get you through your selfish instincts. I mean, when everyone else's marriage gets hard, my marriage is perfect, despite what eHarmony might think.
At the end of the show, what's next for Joel Stein? Maybe he'll take a nap or poke around online.
Our show today was produced by Lydia Jean Cott and Nisha Venkat, with production support from Kate McAuliffe. It was edited by Robert Smith. Our engineer is Amanda K. Wang. Our executive producer is Catherine Girardot. And our theme song was written and performed by Jonathan Colton. And a special thanks to my voice coach, Vicky Merrick, and my consulting producer, Lauren Zelaznik. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm Joel Stein, and this is Story of the Week.
Okay, wait, I found someone that's a definite yes.
Oh, you haven't stopped.
Sorry.
I thought you stopped.
I've been doing this whole time.
My God.
Okay, he's 31, a little too young, but that's fine. A sculptor.
Let me see.
Look at that. That's a cute man. That's my type. Little dreads, good beard.
He looks like he might be in Brooklyn.
He's definitely in Brooklyn, yeah.
Definitely in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm hopeful on this guy.
Coming up on Story of the Week.
I could not convey in words how terrible I was at LARPing, and I'm being loud, and I hate the sound of my voice in my own ears. I just want to hide. I just want to crawl under something.
Is this a miserable, sweaty experience so far?
Oh, insanely sweaty. Insanely sweaty. Okay. And of course, you're like, well, I've just now committed to 4 days of pretending to be this teenager. It just, the whole thing feels cringy and awful and awkward, and I don't know what I've gotten myself into.
Did you catch season 3 of This Is Digital? Season 3 of This Is Digital goes behind the scenes to reveal how digital trends show up in everyday decisions and actions, including digital lessons from the EV revolution and the chief digital officer's role in disruption and culture. Featuring guests like Ekta Chopra of Elf Beauty and Tyson Jomini of JD Power. Do you have a digital mindset? Find out by checking out the latest and greatest on season 3 of This Is Digital and learn more at westmonroe.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, but they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.